I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Good Life. Hope you didn't miss the first part, but you know you can always catch up. Podcasts are available either through goodlifeguy.com, where you would find out what we've talked about in the past or what's coming up in the future, or directly at knssradio.com. Do some online searching at that website, and you will find previous shows from The Good Life and other programs here on Intercom's premier station, KNSS. George Elder is with me in the studio. We're talking about Eldersley Farms, and you know the farm is up 3501 East 101st Street North. If you went up like you were going to the old Kansas Coliseum and hang a right and go east, it's on the south side of the road. But more importantly, go to ElderslyFarm.com, learn about what's going on up there because things have changed a lot. George, during the break, we started talking about other products that you grow, obviously herbs and stuff that Catherine dictates, probably nurtures and has access to is a big part. Talk about the flora and fauna that add to the berries at the farm.
Yeah, so primarily at the farm, we grow blackberries, and that's because we found that every culture you add is so demanding. It has its own set of unique time schedules, unique care necessities. And so as we've gone along, we've tried to keep real stringent focus agriculturally on blackberries, but the kitchen has really needed just a few things. We rely for most of our produce on a number of wonderful local vendors, and we're incredibly satisfied in those relationships. But we've also done some herb plantings, a few vegetables. Most of them come out as garnishes, either herbs for seasoning or even floral garnishes that the kitchen wants quick access to that we'll keep there at the farm so that they can either make a dish pop visually or with an herb flavor that's really just right out of the ground hours before dinner. So that's been a good way that we've augmented the kitchen without bringing in too much distraction agriculturally, because that allows us to keep at a very small scale.
Yeah. Talk about sheep and goats and cheese.
Yeah. So particularly as the restaurant became more and more of a presence in our lives there at the farm, it started becoming more and more table and, for me, less time agriculturally or less time doing the farm aspect of it. And the blackberries inhabit a very short window. The only cultivar or variety that we're happy with has about a 5-week season. So we have 5 weeks of this amazing deluge of fresh fruit. And then, most of the rest of the year agriculturally, we didn't have much on the farm. The winter time is one of the most challenging times to do farm to table authentically. And so what we wanted was to look at an agricultural diversification that allowed us to go further into the winter season or even all year long. And my dad, as a herdsman, has kept goats for many years. He and my mom were interested in those animals. And so we started talking really about 8 years ago, started talking about the expansion of a goat dairy and creamery, just very informally. But the restaurant gave that new impetus, and it made it click so that we started pursuing aggressively 3 years ago, rather than adding another culture that we weren't sure about that would limit our season. we wanted to add a culture that might go 365, like cheeses that could be aged for months, if not years, for some of the different styles. And that began the development of what is now almost complete, which is the creamery at Eldersley Farm, which we will start running milk through the vanes, hopefully in the month of March, and then be open for the public in April on the 20th.
That's so cool. You know, my as we were speaking earlier, my fondest memory, the first time that I went to the farm and for dinner, and we sat outside under the covered area, and it was a beautiful day, and we sampled some magnificent cheese made by one of the local cheesemonger heroes of our great state, and to hear now that you've got somebody that is trained with him and has gone to other training and to be the creamery's head cheese producer, that's a whole other exciting dimension. But we almost passed over something. You had some blackberry problems that made suddenly the cafe become a little more up the scale of importance.
Yeah, so right after Catherine and I were married, we had one of our first big years in the blackberries. 2012 was a good harvest year. And then 2013 was another good harvest year. But 2014, we lost the crop entirely. That was a few years into Catherine and I's marriage. And one of the things we had started doing in those early blackberry years is offering an informal cafe. So people coming out to pick blackberries could pick up a scone, get a cinnamon roll. They just had a few items there. But it brought in the aspect of hospitality to complex or to make more rich the experience of going out to a farm with your family to pick berries. And in that year where we lost the berries, we started to realize that in a lot of different ways, having a cafe allowed for balance and it allowed for an offset where in a year where we don't have a perfect blackberry crop, there's still a way for families to share an outing in the country, which is a pleasant thing when the summertime comes around, and to come out and share our love of the land there and an experience with their family, so that we could both, in a business sense and a personal sense, still have an occupation in years where some years the blackberries can freeze to a 10% crop. It's something we are working at to continue to improve our percentage of excellent yield years, and it is a myopia of mine, an obsession that I spend too much time on, maybe. But that's part of what you do in agriculture is continue to pursue your averages and get them higher and higher in that yield curve. But that did launch, that loss launched the cafe into a more mature setting. And then that year we also advanced farm to table, which we were doing on the lawn in folding tables at that point.
Yeah, things have changed a lot. We got to take another break. I hate to, but I want to have enough time to devote to what all has happened, what's new, the great service provided and the menus and, you know, there's private event facilities that you might want to take part of. We haven't even talked about woodworking and that kind of stuff, but we got to focus on the restaurant in the next segment and how folks can get involved at Eldersley Farm. Start by going to ElderslyFarm.com. You know, if you ever want to call up there, it's 316-305-2984. The website's the answer. Take a look at some of the pictures. If you're not hungry, you will be. And we'll give you more reason to be hungry after this short break. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.